Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting, the regular business meeting for April 17th, 2018. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Hanford, Rasmussen, and Camp.
Thank you. And I heard from Councilmember Cutterback earlier this evening that she would not be here this evening due to a family commitment. Did we hear from Councilmember Davis or Councilmember Gamble that they would be absent? Okay, so we'll note for the record when they come in. Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is a proclamation. I'll go ahead and read this into the record. The proclamation is this: proclamation commemoration of Earth Day and Arbor Day. Whereas Earth Day is celebrated on April 22nd and Arbor Day on April 27th of 2018, and whereas both days are times to recognize the importance of preserving our natural resources, and whereas the City of Monroe recognizes the benefits of its urban forests for improving air and water quality, providing vegetative buffers to development, producing habitat for wildlife, and generally enhancing the quality of life, and whereas the Monroe Parks Board initiated a heritage tree program to increase public awareness and appreciation of Monroe's heritage and Pacific Northwest character, and whereas on February 1, 2018, the Parks Board nominated the Large Coast Redwood Tree located at Travelers Park as a heritage tree, and that tree will be identified on a map of heritage trees in Monroe. And whereas I have initiated a Living Christmas Tree program in 2018 to offer the opportunity for residents to donate their used living Christmas trees for planting in Monroe's open spaces and parks. And whereas students of Mrs. Wood's third grade class from Freilands Elementary School will assist in the ceremonial planting of an Arbor Day tree at Lake Ty Park on Friday, April 27th, 2018 at 1:15 p.m. And whereas we are all stewards of this earth and have responsibility to preserve it for future generations, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor of the City of Monroe, do hereby invite residents and businesses in our community to join me in recognizing the importance of preserving and enhancing our natural environment on April 22nd, 2018 as Earth Day and on April 27th, 2018 as Arbor Day in the City of Monroe, Washington. I'm going to go ahead and invite our Parks Board representative, who is also the Monroe Historical Society president, Tammy Kinney, up to the podium, and also Jeff Priestley, Presley from Freilands Elementary School. He's the principal. Please come on up. And also Jennifer Wood, who is the Freilands Elementary School third grade teacher and her class, if they're here. And then also third grade student Evie Lunsford. Come on up.
Evie.
Would you like to say a few words, and then we'll come down and present these to you?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for including students in this process. I think it's important for them to see the ceremonial opportunities that they have, as well as be able to come back and see the tree that they helped plant on Arbor Day and its growth throughout some time. We appreciate you taking the opportunity and us having the opportunity to think about the earth, thinking about Arbor Day and how they kind of coexist in the same week, which is nice to see. We have a nature park at our school. We have a green team at our school who just received a sustainability recognition from the county. So we also would invite any board members to come to our school. We have an Earth Day concert with second graders on the 26th, next Thursday at 7 p.m. for those who'd like to come. And again, thank you for giving our kids the opportunity to be a part of this process.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to thank the council for recognizing a heritage tree program, finally in the city, recognizing Earth Day and Arbor Day. We've been talking about getting a heritage tree contest going in Monroe for quite some time, and it's finally coming true, and that's a big thrill for me. We have a program announcement that will be made this fall. We're actually going to be issuing nominations and allowing the community to get involved and nominate heritage trees. So this is just the beginning, but we're very
very, very excited about it and look forward to the celebration at Freiland Elementary on the 27th. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you and the council for providing this opportunity to the students at Freiland Elementary. My students, what I told them, are very excited, and being a community park, it's going to be exciting for the kids to be able to watch this tree that they planted grow and become established in their community. So thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything? We're going to all come down there now and present these to you. So I have four copies. Let me go ahead and give one to our president.
Thank
you very much. You're the one that showed up from your class? Okay, here you go. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
You have to look at the camera.
Okay, I'm going to do a 1, 2, 3. I'm going to do one more. 1, 2, 3. Great, thank you. See you all.
Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda is public comments. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet, and each person that comes up will be provided up to 3 minutes to speak. Linda Driscoll, please come forward and state your name for the record, and thank you for coming this evening.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Linda Driscoll. My husband Randy and I own Premier Polaris. We're the other power sports dealer in the area, the one closest to the smokestack. I'm also a new member of the Chamber of Commerce, and I serve on the Economic Development Advisory Council. But I'm not here tonight to talk about any of those. I'm just here tonight as someone who owns a WATV, and I just wanted to thank you for looking into this ordinance on behalf of resident requests. So thank you, and I do hope that you move forward with it.
Thank you, Ms. Driscoll. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening on any topic? Anybody at all? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is the consent agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
I'd like to pull number one, but I'll move to approve consent agenda items number 2 through 11.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for consent agenda, except for consent agenda item number one. Before we vote, please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chambers at approximately 7:05 p.m. and also that Councilmember Gamble has entered chambers just now at 7:10 p.m. And before so discussion on the motion, Councilmember Camp.
Yes, I'd like to pull items 8 and 9 as well.
Okay. Is there any? Does the maker of the motion okay with moving?
I couldn't hear which ones.
8 and 9.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So the motion is to approve the consent agenda except for item number 1, number 8, and number 9. And number 1 would be the approval of the minutes. Number 8 would be a resolution regarding the RCO grant application. And number 9 would be authorizing an RCO grant application for East Monroe site. All right. Just further discussion on the motion. Councilmember Scarborough.
What's the reason for pulling them?
They'll address those after the vote for the consent agenda. Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. All right, let's go to consent agenda item number 1. Councilmember Hanford, would you like to go ahead and start?
Yes, thank you. I was just reading through, and I think because of Attorney Wells out of abundance of caution, We made a motion to take action during that meeting, and I just don't see that recorded there, so.
Point of order.
Yeah.
I don't believe, I'm not sure what you're referring to. If you're referring to taking action at next week's meeting, that will come up later this evening.
No, I was referring to when we took action during our study session. We talked about, we thought that there wasn't a motion needed, or we can take action whenever we want to. And I think you had recommended that Attorney Lowell had said that out of abundance of caution, we should just make a motion that we're going to take action.
Again, we did not take any action on April 10th.
Okay.
We did discuss taking action tonight to make next week's study session a business meeting as well as a study session.
Then maybe that was
and
it.
And we do have a motion that Ms. Knight has that she'll pass out when we address the extended agenda tonight to do that, but we did discuss taking that particular course of action, but we did not actually take the vote last week.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Any other questions for consent agenda item number one? Is there a motion for consent agenda item number one? Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve consent agenda item number one as listed.
Second.
I have a motion for Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for consent agenda item number one. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item then would be consent agenda number 8. Councilmember Camp, I see that they're both RCO related. Would you like to address both of them simultaneously or separately?
Let's split them.
Okay. Consent agenda item number 8. We'll start with that one.
Okay. Financials. I saw some numbers. I didn't really understand them, so I was curious. We're doing 50% of something, and then I want to know what the limit costs could be.
I'll defer to Mr. Farrell on item number 8. It's regarding Lake Tye and the all-weather field.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. So the cost of the construction for the field development of the two synthetic lighted turf fields at Lake Tye Park is estimated to be at $2.2 million. And then the design costs are estimated to be at $300,000, which is budgeted this year, and we're negotiating a contract that will be coming forward to council in about next month. We have been awarded, so there's a total of $2,500,000 to design and construct the project. So we've been awarded an appropriation of $800,000 from the state legislature. Now these two grants that we're applying for, one is a grant, and the maximum that you can apply for this grant is for $500,000, and it requires a 50% match. So for $500,000, you need to match it with $500,000. And some of the match we're using for that is the $800,000 that we're awarded from the state. You can match state funding with state funding from different grants. The second grant.
And there are two?
There are two grants. The second grant is the maximum that we can apply for is $350,000. And that also requires a 50% match. So then $350,000 requires. So we can use, say, the remainder of the state funding plus the extra $50,000 would be on a local match.
Mm-hmm.
And a portion of that could be used from the design, which we budgeted this year already.
Right.
There's also in this year's budget $45,000 for this project that is on 317, which is part of CID funding. So then out of the $2.5 million project, there's a remaining need of $505,000. So then when we move to construction, which would begin The earliest it would begin would be the second half of 2019 or early 2020. That's something that we would need to identify and budget for either local funds or an additional grant. Local funds that we can use would be Park CIP, which are REIT funds, the sources, and also park mitigation fees. And I'll defer to Becky as far as kind of where we stand with that. But that would be something, again, we would carry forward to next year, 2019 and 2020. So is that your question?
So the maximum, thank you for this, Trey. So what would be the minimum amount if we got both of the grants with the existing grant? It is 505?
It's 505, I see.
And the maximum amount would be the whole sum? Above $850,000 up to 202.2? Is that right?
So if we were not awarded both of the grants,
right,
that we're applying for, mm-hmm, then the remaining amount would be $1,355,000.
Okay. That's it. I just wanted to get a better perspective on how much money we're looking at and what's at risk. Having said that, I move to accept the grant funding from the Transportation Improvement Board with the amount of, is this it?
No.
That's not it. Okay. Move to approve resolution number 008-2018, Recreation Conservation Office Applicant Resolution Authorization. Is this the right one?
Mm-hmm.
For project numbers and names. Parent 1, closed parent 18-1460, D Lake Thai Park Synthetic Fields Renovation, and 2, 18-1459, D Lake Thai Park Synthetic Fields Renovation.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 18-090. And again, this is Consent Agenda Item Number 8. Any discussion on the motion?
Was that 8 or the answer? 8.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item then is Consent Agenda Item Number 9. This is AB 18-091, Resolution Number 009-2018, authorizing RCO grant application for East Monroe site. Councilmember Camp?
Same thing. Financials.
Financials, certainly. So in this case, there is an appraisal currently underway on the property, and so we are just in the process now of trying to raise funding for purchase without understanding exactly what that purchase price is at this point. So we're applying for 3 grants. 2 of those are Recreation and Conservation Office grants, and those are what are in your agenda packet today. Mm-hmm. And we're asking for $500,000 for each of those 2 grant options.
That's the grant request that we're putting is $500,000
right,
for each?
For each. We probably have a better chance of receiving funding under the WWRP Urban Wildlife Fund, mm-hmm, than we do under the Land and Water Conservation Futures Fund, but we had already started a Land and Water Conservation Futures Fund application while we were still looking to determine whether or not we qualified for the Urban Wildlife Fund. So at this point, we felt it was best just to go ahead and submit the 2 applications. We're also looking for funding then from the Snohomish Conservation Futures Fund. That's a Snohomish County grant pot. We did a short presentation to their board, got positive feedback, but that application won't go in until later on in the year. So the plan is to match the Snohomish County funding with the state funding to come up with $1 million. We're still going to have to do additional fundraising if we are funded. I'm assuming we're going to need to do that, so we're still looking around for the remainder portion. The goal is not to have any city funding purchase this property, but to have it all grant funded.
So we don't have a purchase price. We really don't know what a bottom line or what price is at risk at this point, correct?
That's correct.
But we are looking at the grant, possibility of a grant. We're about two grants for $500,000 or $1 million.
Right. So right now the property is assessed at $1 million, okay. And so that's the dollar figure that we're working under.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't the part that I've heard about.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. I just want clarification on the finance we're doing with this. So if I just say, do I have to read it, or do we have to just say... Item number 9.
I think since it was pulled out, we're just going to read the requested action. Thank you.
Let me make sure I've got the right one. Move to approve resolution number 009-2018, Recreation and Conservation Office applicant resolution authorization for project numbers and names 18-1622, acquisition East Monroe Heritage Site acquisition. Is that the Department of Redundancy Department, or is that acquisition East Monroe Heritage Site acquisition? That's the legal name.
That's the name of the project, is East Monroe Heritage Site acquisition. So that's the project name.
Okay. LWCF and 18-1698 East Monroe Heritage Site acquisition, WWRP-EW.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 18-091. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
I just have a comment since we are talking about the consent agenda. Item number 11, I have never heard of the word ruggedized before, but it is an actual word. So thank you for putting that together and increasing my vocabulary.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to new business now. New business item number 1, AB 18-094, ordinance number 008-2018, adopting MMC 10.30, wheeled all-terrain vehicles, WATVs, first reading. Chief Quinzer, but this will be Deputy Chief Kennard this evening. Deputy Chief.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The proposed ordinance would authorize the operation of wheeled all-terrain vehicles, WATVs, on public roadways where the speed limit is 35 miles per hour or less. Persons operating WATVs on city streets must wear motorcycle helmets unless the WATV is equipped with seat belts, roll bars, or an enclosed passenger compartment, and shall carry a valid driver's license and proof of current liability insurance. Any WATV operating on a city street shall include the following equipment: headlights, taillights, stop lamps, reflectors, turn signals, mirrors, windshields, and a horn, or warning device meeting the requirements of Chapter 4637 of the RCW. A WATV operating on a city street must comply with applicable registration requirements of Chapter 4609 of the RCW. Prohibited uses include operating WATVs in a negligent or unsafe manner, towing trailer devices, equipment, or persons behind the WATV, riding side by side in a single lane, and carrying passengers unless the WATV is designed to carry more than one person. There is no fiscal impact directed towards the budget impact of the proposed legislation. There may be additional efforts to enforce a WATV ordinance or expense associated with damage to the public or private property. However, this expense is not anticipated to be greater than the current cost to enforce existing traffic laws or any other motorized vehicles. Time constraints, this is discretionary legislative action. There is no specific time constraints adopted with this legislation. There are four alternatives to this. We either move to accept the first reading and the ordinance would be brought back for final reading adoption on May 1st of 2018. Move to waive council rules of procedure requiring two readings of ordinance and move to adopt the ordinance upon the first reading and final reading. Take no action and provide staff with direction for additional changes or request additional information to be submitted prior to action, or take no action and do not consider amendments at this time.
Thank you, Deputy Chief. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Chief, for listing the options so clearly for us. As is pretty well known, we don't like to waive council rules of procedure. Is there some reason that is pressing that we should?
No.
No.
Okay. So, knowing that, I'll make a motion, but then I have a question. I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 008-2018, amending title 10 MMC by the addition of a new chapter 10.30, wheeled all-terrain vehicles, WATVs, thereto authorizing the operation of WATVs on designated city streets, establishing limitations, conditions, requirements, and enforcement standards therefor, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble, for the requested action as listed in Agenda Bill number 18-094. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I didn't read. Are the speed limit limitations imposed in this bill as well?
The speed limit limitations would be any of the city streets within the city limits with speed limit posted less than 35 miles per hour.
And then there's that one section on US 2, which technically is 522.
Yes.
That arch, I thought we were going to specify that bill as well.
As it's written, as you go down Highway 2, you can't get to that location, so there's no need to put that in.
Even if they're turning, I'm afraid somebody's going to turn along.
It's 45.
Is that 45?
It's 45.
That's
to that point. So.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
One of the RCWs referred to limit the age to 18 on these drivers?
No, it was limited to a valid driver's license.
Mm-hmm. 16. Okay, I for one would like to see the limit at 18 on these. I don't know exactly where I put that in my thoughts for going forward with it.
Right. You would share that right now, and then you could certainly make an amendment to the motion.
My idea is that we amend the motion to limit the people driving them around to 18. Part of my reading is an 18-year-old is responsible for their actions. A 16-year-old mom and dad are responsible for that action. I don't know that they want to put the parents in that position.
Okay. So I'm understanding that, do I understand correctly that you've made a motion to change the age? You've made a motion to direct staff to prepare an amendment that would change the age to 18, the minimum age to 18?
Correct.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, motion dies for lack of a second. Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, is there any other discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gamble.
No, I would just say that we did discuss that when we had it in committee. That was something that the study session that we had out on the floor. I think if I remember correctly, and Deputy Chief, if you remind us, right now a 16-year-old can drive a motorcycle if they are an endorsed rider, correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. So essentially, the concept is that's why it's a, you know, they still have to be a licensed driver. Really, it would be just, we would arbitrarily be putting the 18-year-old stamp on it just because we personally don't feel. So that was why when we left the study session, it came back without the 18-year-old designation. So just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that was, we did research that. That wasn't something that was just.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Just a comment on the fact that where this is first reading, I will support this is first reading and. Yeah, support us for sure.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and vote. Again, the motion is as typed in Agenda Bill 18-094 without amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. The next item is new business item number 2. This is AB 18-095, Ordinance Number 009, 2018, amending MMC 10 regarding parking, local speed limits, and compression brakes for first reading. This is Mr. Fauber.
Thank you.
Eventually, that's the next item. Right, if I can find somewhere to put this in. We discussed this before the council at the January 9th, the January 16th, and the February 13th council meetings. We started this out reviewing the code for a couple of little things, and as we were reading the Title 9 of the Minimum Municipal Code, we found some other things that weren't consistent with current state law or current practices, so we expanded the scope to include all those things. And they include the repeal of the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit zone on West Columbia, and retreating that to 25 miles an hour except in the school zones, because that was instituted when there was no sidewalks along that street, and since then sidewalks have been installed. Reducing the speed limit on Main Street between 177th Avenue and Madison Street to 20 miles per hour between the hours of 7 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Making overweight vehicles consistently 15,000 pounds of the Mineral Municipal Code. Some places it was 15,000 pounds, and some places it was 12,500 pounds. Establishing angled parking on Main Street between Blakely and Ferry. That's required by state law that we adopt that by ordinance. Updating RCW references throughout that title of the code, that things have been moved around in state law, so we're just making them so that they match. Removing references to Evergreen District Court and replacing it with Monroe Municipal Court, since that's what we use now. Clarifying the overweight parking restrictions and permitting process, and then establishing compression brake regulations, which basically does not allow the use of compression brakes within the city limits. We're recommending that you accept this first reading, this ordinance that makes those amendments to Chapter 10, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
No questions, thank you. I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 009-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code MMC Title 10, vehicles and traffic, amending local speed limits on various city streets, amending the city's parking regulations, adopting new standards and permitting requirements for overweight vehicles, updating and correcting miscellaneous code references, adopting new standards for the use of compression brakes, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 18-095. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 3. This is AB 18-096. Ordinance number 010-2018, amending MMC Title 10 regarding US 2 speed limits. First reading. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you.
This is where you're lowering the speed limit along Highway 2 to 25 miles an hour?
Yes.
Just kidding. Just so that you can get on to 522 with your WATV.
Okay, you're going to have to look at your packets. If you go back to the previous item, new business number 2 is actually where the map is. It ended up in new business number 2 rather than new business number 3. That's why that map is there.
Gotcha.
I'll turn the light back on. So, the state, in response to complaints by citizens about traffic and bicycle pedestrian safety around the intersection of 522 and Highway 2, has completed a traffic study and engineering speed study, and have decided that it's appropriate to change the speed limits along Highway 2. So basically what they're doing is increasing the area that is lower speed limits. So instead of being 55 from city limits to about the park and ride lot, that will be lowered to 45 miles an hour. And then the part that is 45 miles an hour currently starts at Big Five and goes west from there. It'll actually start now at the Cascade View Drive and go west. So 55 from out in the county, when it gets to the city, it'll be 45, and then 45 will drop to 35 when you get to Cascade View Drive. It'll stay 35 through the business district, and then become 55 after you cross over the Wood Spring Bridge going out of town.
Okay, so I'd like to clarify something.
Yes.
So Highway 2 at the on-ramp where 522 curls around the on-ramp and off-ramp
yes.
for 522, that segment of Highway 2 would then be 35?
Correct.
Okay. So the statement that was made earlier about WATV and 35 miles an hour on Highway 2?
That's correct.
It's correct at the moment, but not soon.
Okay.
So they would have the possibility. Pardon me, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. You're going to ask the question too.
Okay. So with that said, would referring back to the one that council just adopted with first reading, does anybody have any issue with us preparing an amendment that would clarify that the on ramp to 522 is not intended for WATVs?
We have some. That says
no WATVs, don't go this way. Okay.
Something like that.
So the staff will look at that, and worst case scenario, you'll have an amendment to what you had for first reading. But the intent is not for people to drive up and down the on ramps to 522. Okay, thank you. Go ahead and continue.
Because of this, I'm just curious, Mayor. I have a question if I could ask.
I'll go ahead and acknowledge you, Councilmember Camp, and
thank
then Councilmember
you.
Hanford.
So if we do go with this change, assuming someone passes 522, they go through the light, their next option to get off before it goes up to 45 miles an hour is the back road to the fairgrounds?
Yes.
By the feed and seats? Okay. We may want to have, I don't know if there's a sign posted there or something, or if we would may want to have some sort of a sign saying you better stop here if we're driving on WATV, just for consistency.
We're not allowed to put signs on Highway 2 without permission from the state.
Okay. Does that include a sign that would say no WATVs up?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
All right.
And if you also notice that they already have moved the speed limit sign, the 45 mile an hour speed limit sign that used to be in front of Starbucks Big Five is now at Cascade View Drive.
Oh.
They already moved it.
When did they do that? Weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember somebody saying something and didn't look.
Yeah, so that's what I said. But then I said, well, we don't need to do this, do they? They said, well, yes, we'd like you to anyway.
Okay.
So,
Councilmember Camp, you still have the floor?
I'm done.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
I was just going to say, how many signs do we need to have up telling ATVs not to go somewhere? I think they're licensed drivers. They know good enough, kind of well enough, not to go get up on 522.
Okay.
If they don't, police department will make sure.
Okay. Staff will go back and look at that. Since we've already dispensed with that in first reading, staff will go back and take a look and see if there's a need to clarify, because the reality is that you have other on-ramps and off-ramps throughout town that join up like with West Main, and you know,
exactly.
It may be that it's not necessary.
I would not be in support of implementing the motion.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. They'll let you know if they learn anything. And then, all right. Anything further, Councilmember Hanford?
Nope.
All right. Councilmember Rasmussen and then Councilmember Camp.
On that announcement, move to accept as first reading ordinance number 010-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code Title 10, Vehicles and Traffic, amending local speed limits on US 2 providing for severability and establishing effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill Number 18-096. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor. I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I was just curious. How much is the ticket if somebody's got driving outside of the authorized WATV area? Any ideas?
Depends on what the situation is.
Let's say they're just driving.
They're just driving. They would be speeding, or I'd do some research on that.
Okay. It would be a couple hundred bucks. That might be enough of a learning curve item to help people not do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion?
So,
seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Abstentions? Okay, so Councilmember, so what we have here is we have a vote of 5 in favor, and a vote of one against, with the person against being Councilmember Hanford. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. New business item four. Let's do that one. This is AB 18-097, ordinance number 011-2018, amending MMC 6.04, nuisances, first reading. Councilmember Feilberg.
Here.
Mr. Feilberg.
This is something also that has been brought to council before. Previously, we talked about this in February and January of this year. This is, once again, in response to citizen comments, is to change the regulations regarding construction noise, and also there's some cleanup just to make it actually work. So rather than a blanket adoption of the WAC 173-63, I think it is, we've actually specified when construction noise is, so it's based on time of day rather than the amount of decibels that people are generating on their property. So basically, makes a change to no construction noise between 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, and between 8 p.m. and 9 a.m. on weekends and holidays. And if there are any questions, I would be happy to answer those.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 011-2018, amending Monroe Municipal Code MMC Chapter 6.04, nuisances, establishing and defining public nuisances affecting the peace, establishing regulations therefore, including an administrative departure process, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. For the requested action is typed in Agenda Bill number 18-097. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is agenda item, still new business, item number 5. It's AB 18-098, award RFP and authorize the mayor to sign contract for interim/permanent police chief search services. Mr. Worthen.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight, what you have on your agenda is an approval for two things. One is a proposed contract with the Kaufman Company for police chief recruitment, and second, a contract with Kaufman for an interim police chief. Budget impacts for an interim police chief is $90 per hour. Keep in mind, that's a Kaufman employee. We pay them directly, and then they take their percentage and pay their employee. And second, for the all-inclusive of all recruiting costs minus any candidate travel, for the recruitment of the police chief is $23,500. So what we're looking for tonight is a motion to authorize the mayor to sign a contract with a Kaufman. Questions?
Councilmember Scarborough.
So the interim police chief is a $90 an hour job?
Correct.
And you pay that person that money and he pays for it?
We pay Kaufman. Kaufman pays the interim. They're not an employee of the city, it's a contract.
Okay, so we're paying it. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
I'll make the motion to move to award the executive search services RFP to Proffman and authorize the mayor to sign the contract with Proffman to provide interim police chief services and police chief recruitment services for the city of Monroe. I expressly authorize further minor revisions to the contract as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. For the requested action is typed in Agenda Bill number 18-098. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is new business item number 6. This is AB 18-099, 2018-2019 Lodging Tax Advisory Committee appointments. Ms. Hassard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So before you tonight is the review that the council is required to do with regards to the makeup of the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. As you know, we do charge a lodging tax here within the city of Monroe, and because our size is over 5,000 in population, we are required by RCW to have a Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. The committee is made up of statutorily required positions, being two positions from organizations that could receive funds. Two positions are reserved for our hoteliers within town, so they're the folks that are collecting the funds. And then the fifth position is reserved for the mayor or his appointee. The terms that we have on the Lodging Tax Committee do run one-year increments. They run from July to June of each year. And so our existing members, their terms do expire here at the end of June. Staff is recommending that council go ahead and continue to go with the people that we have on the committee. The process has been evolving, and these folks have been part of that. We've got a good group that have become knowledgeable with regards to the process. It's also a group that our various potential applicants are getting to know. And so they're getting a feel for what this group looks for when they are doing their applications. And quite frankly, to kind of switch them up in the middle of the year kind of throws the process a little off its game. This is a group that is engaged. They have been coming. One caveat to that is one of my hoteliers' positions is still vacant. We have been reaching out to the 5 hotels in town to see if we can't get them to apply. However, what we're also going to try and do this year is let them know that the RCW does allow that if they can't attend, they can nominate someone to represent them. That doesn't have to necessarily be in the hotel business as long as they're representing that particular hotelier. So we're going to see if that maybe might not get us somebody to fill that fifth position. So given that the positions are very limited as to who can apply for them, again, in the staff's recommendation that council consider maintaining the current makeup. And if that is the case, we did recently have a meeting this last week with the current board. All 4 incumbents did express an interest to continue in their positions. So they are prepared to be reappointed if council so chooses.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'm just curious. So the members of this board, do they have to have a business within the city limits of Monroe or
no.
Just in the general area?
Correct.
Urban growth area, or is there any definition?
No, actually, so the members of the board have to meet one of 2 requirements. So it's a 5-person board,
right.
Actually one of 3 requirements. The first requirement, quite frankly, is met by election.
Right.
The other two of the positions are basically reserved for representatives from any organizations that would be eligible to apply for lodging taxes.
And that's my question. Do the eligible organizations have to be within the city of Monroe? Okay, that was the question.
As long as their activity could benefit the city of Monroe,
okay.
Then they are eligible.
Okay. So the other question I have is, you're 2.5 months out from the end of their term. Why the rush?
Because, quite frankly, with having 2 business meetings a month, I'd like to be able to do appointments in November or in May, because in June we actually start, and we're going to use the same process as last year. So June we're going to hold a couple of open houses to invite anybody who is interested in applying to come in if they've got questions, get a feel for the application, make appointments to do maybe one-on-one. But anyhow, the point is we start the process towards the beginning of June,
right.
And so it's nice to be able to know who's going to be on the committee going forward.
If I could add also that there's also, we're not assured that we're going to get somebody right away, so in the event that the council decides that they don't want to have the same makeup, we've still got to go through the process of recruiting. So that would be the other thing, I think.
Right.
You said
and
before,
we did the reappointments last year this time of year, too, so I was kind of looking at what we did last year.
Well, the fact that you're missing one means that you have to advertise it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't reappoint these people, but it seems to me that you have plenty of time. If they're willing to be reappointed, make an announcement, advertise it, and see who else may be interested, just to widen the pot if possible. That would be my only concern. Again, you've got 2.5 months, so if we have the commission, the commitment or the assignment at the end of May, it would still be one job.
If I may be totally frank, that might work for 2 of the positions, the 2 hotelier positions. I literally hand-delivered letters to all 5 hotels because the gentleman that is filling the one position now at first reluctantly agreed to try it out, see how he felt about it. I'd be a little concerned about him feeling like we didn't think his work was good enough when I'm not getting interest from the other four. So my concern is just having a hotelier on there at all. I want to hang on to the one I've got. I'm statutorily limited as to who can fill those two positions.
I can understand. I've had people ask me about this and ask how they get on the board. Really, if it's just advertised and if you open up applications even for a short time, just to see if there's any interest whatsoever. Like I said, we're 2.5 months out. We've got time to do it. Otherwise, it just seems like we're short-circuiting a little bit. That's my only concern. That's all I've got. Thank you.
And again, statutory, it's council's prerogative. So.
Thank you. Councilor Scarborough.
Then do I understand, not the two hotel people, but the other three, you've had no interest generated from somebody that would like to replace one of those three? And in line with what Councilman Camp is saying, are you asking that we might ask for people that are interested in replacing any of those three? Is that right, Councilman Camp?
I open it up so that people are aware of it and can find out more information. You mentioned that you're going to have this is the LTAC presentation in June or something after we've made the appointment. I'm just thinking if you advertise it, encourage people to at least check it out and see if they'd be interested in joining it. I'm not saying the current members aren't acceptable. We've got 2.5 months. Let's see if we can at least get people aware that this organization exists. That's all. I'm sorry. That's
Councilor Scarborough.
I'm in question. If I understand what you're saying right, then my question still is, nobody has expressed an interest in the other three spots?
Not that I have heard.
Okay. But we did not do any advertising to solicit, so people may not know that they're available.
We did solicit for the hotel.
Not for the other three.
But not for the other. Well, actually, it would be two, because the third position is filled by the mayor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two. Okay, I'm in concurrence with Councilman Camp on this. Just give it some time, see if somebody's interested in these spots. And not to say that the two people on there are not doing a good job of their role.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen. I'm sorry, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I'm in the opposite. I'm fine with moving forward. I mean, we've got folks in place willing to serve. This is a yearly appointment, correct? So this is something that we do every year. We've advertised for in the past. Have we, if I remember right, we don't really have interest any year on this, do we?
I've only been working with them for a year, so I really couldn't speak to the past.
Really? Anybody else on staff speak to the past? That's what I remember after being here for 6 years. So,
and I can't tell you my former lives. If you get someone willing to serve on the LTAC, you hang on to them.
Correct. I mean, it's great if we want to put it out. I mean, it's a yearly thing. If people are interested, you know, it's an every year deal. But we have people willing to serve. I say we appoint them and we keep moving forward. That's my thought. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Agree 100%. If they're there and they want to serve and they want to continue, then let's let them. I mean, look at how many board positions we have out there. Aside from this, that I'm totally in agreement. And frankly, I applaud Hugo Hasser for being proactive on this and looking for the nominations sooner so he can continue the good work. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Hanford.
I concur. Councilmember Gamble, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Okay. Councilor Davis?
Yes, and I concur also. It's always a hassle trying to find people. It has been 6 years I've been here. So it's the same thing every year. So
every year.
We've got people that are interested and willing. Let's go with that.
Okay. Thank you. So the requested action was discussion and direction. If you like, you can go ahead and make a motion for alternative number one. The motion would be reappoint current incumbents and have staff continue to recruit for the second hotel position. You also have the other alternatives that are there and perhaps a fourth one. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I'll make a motion to reappoint current incumbents and direct staff to continue to recruit for the second hotel position.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Gamble to reappoint current incumbents and direct staff to continue to recruit for the second hotel position. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay, we have four ayes, one nay from Councilmember Scarborough, one abstention from Councilmember Camp. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is final action. Number one, this is AB 18-100, resolution number 010-2018, authorizing the sale of certain real property to Bruce Anderson. Ms. Knight.
So staff is asking that the council reschedule this for your May 1st meeting. Mr. Anderson is looking to form an LLC in order to purchase the property, and the purchase and sale agreement is currently with Mr. Anderson's attorney, and we are hopeful that all of that work will be finished by your meeting on May 1st.
Okay. Any concerns with us bringing this back on May 1st? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to final action number two. Thank you, Ms. Knight. Thank you, Council. So final action number two is AB 18-101, acceptance of binding completion stage price with ET Environmental for Public Works Shop Design Build Project. Mr. Roberts.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. As was discussed at last week's study session, there is a need to complete a change order in order to move forward with the Public Works Shop Project and also the design of Blueberry. Actually, really this phase of the municipal campus plan. The requested action in front of you this evening, which is option number two from the list of options we reviewed last week, that list hasn't changed, so it's still option number two. We'll provide for that. And also, as I already touched on, the civil design of Blueberry. So if there are any questions or discussion, I would go to the floor to that now.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I move to accept the binding completion stage price with ET Environmental Company for the Public Works Shop Design Build Project, authorizing the mayor or designee to sign change order number two, accepting the $5.87 million guaranteed maximum price and expressly authorizing further minor revisions deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion for the requested action in AB 18-101 with a second from Councilmember Hanford, with a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Yes, Councilmember Rasmussen.
I made the second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. So the second was Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Rasmussen, did you have anything further?
No, thanks.
Okay. All right. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is... It is. Councilmember reports. Let's go ahead and move to the City Council Finance and Human Resources Committee. Councilmember Gamble.
So I was out of town on business last week, so who ran the meeting? Mr. Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, we had a good meeting last week for the Finance and Human Resources Committee. We talked about the Lake Tie Synthetic Fields project, pretty much what we voted on tonight with Mr. Farrell bringing forth about the grants and so forth. We also talked about the Monroe-Duval Connector, which was a possible bus route between Monroe and Duval. And so I don't know if either of you would like to give an update on that since our last meeting, Mr. Swanson.
Absolutely. I can do it now or during my report, either way.
During the report's fine, then, if you're already prepared for that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And is that on a future agenda?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Great. So that was pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councilmember Hanford. The next item that we have then under Councilmember Reports is the Council Legislative Affairs Committee. Councilmember Hanford.
I'm pulling up my notes. That was also a good meeting. We talked about just the lobbyist RFP, and it's, if I remember correctly, the contract is coming up. And so, as just an order of business, we're just going through the RFP process to see if we're going to continue with them or not. I haven't I don't think we talked about any problems that we've had. It's just a matter of going through the business. So I think that was it. We talked about the ball fields and different things like that, but nothing specific. So okay, I think that's it.
All right. Any questions about either of the committee reports? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to down the dais. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it. That time of year for all the awards nights coming up.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow is the Chamber Awards, just a reminder. And then the Senior Awards nights for scholarships is right around the corner in the May time frame. So just lots of activity coming. And I know we're still working on the fields. Appreciate that vote. If there ever was an advertisement for why we need that, it's the rainiest April since the 1800s. Kind of cement that home. Lots of games being. Thankfully, we do have fields, you know, in the valley right now that that are turf, and those games do get to happen for the kids. But there's a significant population that get canceled because they're scheduled on the fields that, even though they do their darndest to get those in playable shape, it's just we're not able to do it. So. Glad to see that move forward. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Kim?
Nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen? Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
I will unfortunately not be able to attend the meeting tomorrow night, the Chamber Awards, but that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Nothing.
Let's go out to staff. We'll start off with the reports that are in there. Human Resource and Information Technology update. Mr. Worthen.
Yeah, I was able to skip this for a number of times, hooked up at the board, and realized that it wasn't on the list. I'm now here. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about was House Bill 298, just kind of how does it impact me as, you know, person that's in charge of human resources. City of Seattle's had this, it's called a Block the Box campaign, basically asking applicants at time of hire or at time of application if they've been convicted of any felonies or misdemeanors or anything like that. Well, the state's gone past it. It's signed on March 13th, and it'll be effective across the state on 6-7. So this employers, except in some exceptions like law enforcement and those that have our unsupervised access to children, will no longer be able to ask criminal convictions up front or put in ads, which we don't do today, like no felons kind of things. If you read your list, we don't have to do that. That's kind of the extreme example. So it's just one of the things that's coming up from an HR perspective. Currently, our applications do ask about criminal convictions up front, so I'll just put in a change order with our vendor to remove that. We can certainly ask that. We run criminal history checks on everyone before they start, but we just can't use that at the beginning to sort of weed out any applicants, as the state has decided. So outside of that, from an IT perspective, this year the IT group completed a Wi-Fi upgrade. Previously, everyone ran in here if we needed Wi-Fi, so we just had it in the council chambers. Now we've spread that out across City Hall, Public Works, and the police department, so now everyone has access to Wi-Fi in all the buildings. And for me, with a laptop, I can essentially pull and work out of any room versus, you know, not having to be tethered into a Cat 5 plug. And we are completing our asset inventory list, so if you could show me your cell phone on the way out, that would greatly appreciate it. It's going to be checked off. So I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
So do I understand that at this point we have a check, a block on applications that says you have a felony?
Correct.
And we're going to remove that?
There are some exceptions, as I discussed. We'll just have to, over the next few months, really look at see how those exceptions impact public employment, where we can or cannot ask that. So what may happen is we may have a different application for parks, for instance, because they do have unsupervised access to kids because they're out on a mower and there could be kids out there. So if we have a parks opening, we could have a different application for them that asks that up front, where if it's a clerical position, we may not be able to ask that till further on in the process.
And with not having it on there, you still said that you do background check on any employees that you...
Absolutely. That's
okay, so you're only using it as a paring down from 50 to 2 or 3.
The state doesn't want you using that to pare it down and they want you to find the person and then run the background and decide if that
looking at the totality of the applicant, if they can or cannot work for the city. Okay. Yeah. Good question.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Worthen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next item, next department to present is the police department. Deputy Chief Kennard.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. We'll start off community outreach and enforcement team. Eight new individuals have engaged in services. We have one completed with our chemical dependency evaluation. Two entered impaired treatment. One started with our medication assisted treatment, and we had two housed. One was housed and one was referred to the YMCA. The PROAC team worked the case for the last couple of years on the one-stop pawn shop, which was over in town. It closed down a while ago and moved to Highway 99 up out of the city of Linwood. This particular pawn shop was taking product which is normally not found in a pawn shop. A lot of Claritin, Prilosec, those type of items. They're paying people about 20 cents on the dollar for bringing these items in. We first got onto this because of all the thefts at Walmart and Fred Meyer's and so on and so forth. The PROAC team started taking a look at these folks after a two-year investigation. They served a search warrant on the second pawn shop, which most of the family members of this particular family had worked in or worked in at the time. Confiscated approximately $70,000 worth of product out of that pawn shop. The investigation was just a great job of police work by our PROAC team, listening to what the people on the street were telling them and then calling them on it. So they did a wonderful job there. On the 15th of last month, one of the drivers of one of our local semis had a really, really bad day. He had a little boy trailer with a box truck on the back of it. He happened to try to take it underneath of the overpass 522 between the roundabouts. Didn't quite make it through. The truck hit the bridge. He was then instructed after we finally got it out of the bridge to turn around and go park at the reformatory parking lot. Unfortunately, the driver did not know where that was at and continued down Main Street taking out the power lines and finished in there. So within about 20 minutes, we got to deal with.
So, Deputy Chief, I would note that it wasn't April 13th, but it was the Ides of March.
There you go. And then we got some information. We got a call that there was a stolen vehicle at the east end of town. We went out and took a look at it. One of our officers was virtually right there when we got the call. Spotted the car. The car spotted him at about the same time. Went into a quick pursuit. He shut it down because of the speeds. The vehicle was a stolen car. Ran into the back of a 2017 Cadillac Escalade. Just up to the east of Highway 2, the driver of the vehicle, the stolen vehicle, then bailed out and jumped over the embankment at that point and went about 40 feet down into the blackberry bushes. Took a little while, but our officers were able to get down to him, cutting their way through the bramble to get to him and get him out of there. He had a female passenger. Both of them were treated and released at the local hospital, and charges are pending on that case. We were able to charge that individual driver with seven different felonies, as he'd been in four or five different stolen cars and tried to outrun us on numerous occasions in the prior weeks. Other than that, our personnel status is we've got three officers in field training status, Nicole Richards, Brady Pettit, and Hannah Snavely. We also have Natalie Steinbeck, who is at the academy currently. We have Alex Thomas, who is awaiting an academy date, and we have one current vacancy that we have not filled at this time.
When you look at the statistics on your boards, you'll notice that the totals don't add up. We didn't add that correctly, so the March totals aren't in there. In March, we had 6 burglaries, 3 vehicle prowls, 5 vehicle thefts, and 2 vehicle recoveries. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Councilman Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you for the report. Just on the vacancy, how long has that vacancy been open?
It's been since about the first of the year. We've been interviewing individuals and just have not come up with a candidate that has passed all the testing at this point.
Okay. Are there other cities that are in a similar situation where they have vacancies or there's just not enough people applying, qualified people applying?
I can't speak to the other cities. At the last time I knew, the city of Everett had 22 openings. State Patrol had about 34. I don't know what they look like now. The academy has pumped through several classes, so they're getting people through. I don't know what the numbers look like at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Campbell.
I would just say in general, it's a very tough hiring market right now because of low unemployment across the board. We're having the same issue.
Two other topics. One, Carr and Lake Tie. I don't know if council saw that we had a cargo in Lake Tie at 2:30 this morning.
That was over the weekend.
Sorry, yeah, over the weekend.
Over the weekend, yeah. We had an intoxicated driver hit a statue, the only statue to Lake Tie, and then here in the lake itself, the front end of the car was in the lake when we contacted the driver.
Thank you. Councilman Rasmussen?
Just popped in my mind. We saw something the other day that Coffee with a Cop is being planned again. I forgot the date and locations.
It will be, I believe, the 24th of next month, and it will be at Starbucks at the West End of town.
I'm glad it's coming back. It was fun.
Thank you. Okay. Lastly, Deputy Chief, I received an email on Friday from somebody I know here in town. They expressed that they really appreciated our crisis intervention team, the CIT. I had sent you an email about that, and I just wanted to acknowledge in a public forum how much I appreciate the work that the CIT did in helping out somebody that was in a state of crisis last week. So the person who commented is somebody that is involved in the human services profession, if you will, or works with it, and he was impressed by the training that our officers and other responders had and that were able to handle the situation. So thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Mayor. Right now, all of our officers have CIT training to at least 8 hours. We have several of them that have been through the 40-hour class, and the prognosis for the police department is to get all of the officers through the 40-hour class. It's a very important class for individuals who are suffering from mental disabilities.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Sorry, Deputy Chief.
Nope.
We'll get you a seat next time. Councilmember Gamble.
I'm trying to remember so that the Washington State land that's in next to the church up off of Chain Lake where we've had encampments previously, before. What is our, we contact the state, is that, I'm trying to remember exactly if there is a camp that's reported in there because it's not technically in the city of Monroe, is it?
This relates to the conversation you and I had before the meeting.
Yeah, that DOT property is something that we go up on a regular basis. We try to get up there a couple of times a week. We find new campments, we do post them, and we contact DOT. They have limited resources and will only go up and clean it up on certain occasions. That is something that is in the works right now. I don't know the exact date as to when that cleanup will happen. Sergeant Ryan, who runs that particular program, is on vacation this week. So.
Okay. I guess what I would like to see, because it's the part from the Parks Department, we get the report that shows when we identify camps that is on city grounds or property, but we don't really have anything that integrates that piece. Where we have these known areas where we identify. And the police department is in working in conjunction with WASDOT or the railroad, whatever the case may be, somewhere where we can see that all in one place, so that when we are approached, we have the ability to respond that it is being addressed and we are following up with the appropriate municipality in order to address it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Next department to report out is our Public Works Department, Mr. Feilberg.
I don't have anything as nearly exciting as cars and lights and things like that. Once again, we have our usual reports of all the projects in the packet, and we have to answer your questions if you have any questions about that. A few things that didn't make it in there, just so you're aware of what's going on, is we've contracted with Century West Engineering to design the North Kelsey Blueberry Lane intersection improvements for that. We've also got Harmson & Associates under contract to design the Graydon water main replacement. Graydon is a subdivision that was done in the 70s up off of Ingram Road in about 132nd. So that's a really old section of water line that we're replacing in that neighborhood. And then we're also currently negotiating for the scope and fee with Petit to do the 191st design for that road project to add that extra exit to the area up there, to the roundabout, yes. So, okay, that's all I have for presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. You've got more there in your report, of course. Councilmember Kent?
Thank you. I'm sorry, for 191st, do we ever, what was the final decision on which version we were going to do? Part of
it was, I think it was D. The curve, basically the
curve to the roundabout.
The old road to the roundabout.
Okay.
Yes. With the just the two lanes and pedestrian facilities on one side.
It's now okay.
That's the cheapest one.
Problems I've had to look at.
Yeah. It's down there somewhere.
Okay. So you can see that there are other updates in there, Blueberry, Kelsey, 191st, the trail along Chain Lake. If you've got any questions, please feel free to follow up. And thank you very much, Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you.
All right, the next department to report out is our Community Development Department. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you. So in your packet is our monthly report and has the map of the development. But just to, if you have any questions on that, let me know. But I'll skip to addressing what we discussed in the Finance Committee with the Duval to Monroe connector. And so what happened is it was about 8 months ago, 9 months ago now, a group called HopeLink, a nonprofit, received a Usage Shields grant for approximately $100,000 to essentially develop a Snoqualmie Valley Transportation Coalition and a pilot project. The way that, depending on geography, we are located in the Snoqualmie Valley at one end, and so it was basically us and then all the cities between us up to North Bend, if you go down 203 and then up 202, and the city of King County. And so through this coalition, we discussed many different options for pilot programs, and the one that basically floated to the surface was developing a bus connection from the city of Duval up through Monroe. And the need was identified there because if a person living in Duval or Monroe wants to get to either the city, let's say starting from Duval, it's on a good scenario, it takes 4 hours to get from here to there. On a bad scenario, it takes 9 hours. And essentially the reason to be that is if you're going from Duval, you have to go into Seattle and then to up to Everett and then loop back out. And so right now in the Snoqualmie Valley, you have the Snoqualmie Valley Transportation. They're a nonprofit agency that essentially serves the King County and the citizens of North Bend down to Duval. It's an established organization. They've been receiving funding from Puget Sound Regional Council, Washington State Department of Transportation, and King County to do essentially do this rural route. King County still runs their main bus lines, but what King County figured out is we can just give them money. They will take care of this rural route area area, and they'll do it for cheaper because they're a nonprofit. They have very low overhead, and they hire basically retired community transit and King County transit drivers to do these routes. And Lady Amy Biggs essentially runs the show, and she does it for a very efficient price. And so when we got this pilot program, we thought, okay, we could potentially get Snoqualmie Valley Transportation to essentially do this route. And when we started looking at what we want this to look like, is you would have a few stops in Duval, they would come up, and us just in, at the workshop, you'll see a sketch of a proposed route. Is the bulk of the service will be in Monroe, because what we're looking for is a is essentially a looped route that would bring the citizens from Duval. And two of the big issues of why Duval people want to come to Monroe is healthcare, specifically kidney dialysis. We're one of the closest. If you're in the valley, you have to go to the other end, down towards Issaquah area, or up to Snoqualmie. And so kidney dialysis, general healthcare, and retail. You know, big box stores, and even citizens in Carnation, you know, tend to come up here for that shopping. And then so that bus would essentially take them up, go into the kind of Walmart Providence area and loop around there next, past Fred Meyer's, and then come down, and we'd be looking at to hit the neighborhoods, basically those areas south of 2. And so go down Blueberry Lane, hit a lot of that multifamily area, go through the Freelands up by the community college, by the hospital, and then basically take that loop back around again up by Providence and Walmart, and then head down to Duval. And so it would actually be a fixed route. It was what we're looking at right now is called a fixed route deviated, meaning the driver would have the option to go off a couple of blocks in case somebody really needed to be picked up a few blocks off. And so, and this route is open to everyone. It's not just specifically for people with disabilities or a certain financial income set. It's open to anyone. And right now, the way Snoqualmie Valley Transportation runs is this is a suggested donation of $1 for riding the bus. And so we would, at this point, essentially look towards carrying that model forward. King County really likes this idea. They understand that the majority of the service would be in Monroe. However, they also understand that their transportation organization has quite a bit more money than the community transit organization. And they offered, let me back up a little bit, the total cost of it is $125,000. $20,000 of that, $20,000 to $25,000, is coming from the Easter Seals grant. So it's going to be one-time money. This will be the one-time pilot project. Of that remaining money, of that $100,000, King County is willing to pay 65% of that and donate their buses. And so the program would use their local transit buses. They said, we'll do this if Snohomish County, it doesn't mean the county means entities within Snohomish County can come up with 35% of it. The only bad thing about this is we have to essentially have this funding figured out by May 3rd. And so we are all in a mad scramble to try to get funding for this program. And we're going to governments, we're going to nonprofits, and we're going to for-profit agencies. And the thing that I addressed the Finance Committee with is I will be coming to council for an ask, and I don't know what that dollar amount is. And the ask would be the remainder of what we cannot get to fund the one-year pilot program. And so it's essentially, we need to come up with $35,000 by May 3rd in order to make this happen. And so we're going through, we're talking with everyone right now. We're selling it as, you know, $3,500. And you know, get 10 of those entities, and we can fund this portion. We'll see how many we can get out of that. Obviously, we've talked to Snohomish County and the entities within Snohomish County. We're working with Snowtrack. They talked to all the healthcare providers trying to get funds from them. So I know I'm getting into way too much detail, but anyway, so that's what's coming up. It'll be at the workshop, and then followed at a council meeting. Hopefully, I'll have more funding information at that time as things progress.
Any questions for community development? Thank you very much, Mr. Sawson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next report that we have is economic development update. Ms. Knight.
Mine is just very brief. We've actually scheduled time on your agenda next week for a presentation from James Palmer, our economic development specialist, and he'll be going over some details about the work that we've been doing most recently to promote Monroe both locally and outside the city limits as well to bring in new business. So I'll leave that for your council meeting on the 24th.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Farrell, Parks and Recreation update.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So, in Parks, they have a written update for this past month. One of the items is the Sky River playground replacement, and so where we're at now is the Parks crew have been demoing the old playground and preparing for the new one to come in, and the schedule is that in May, beginning of May, is when the construction of the assembly of the new playground will occur, and the goal is that, to have the playground project completed by the end of May. And then, as I just mentioned earlier tonight, kicked off with the proclamation that announced that tree planting event for Arbor Day on April 27th, as well as announcing the Heritage Tree Recognition Program and the Living Christmas Tree Program. We currently have requests for proposals out for seasonal boats, paddle boards, canoes, kayaks, rental program for Lake Tai Park. Obviously, that's a desire that came out of our park master plan. We've advertised before in the past, and we did have, I believe, it was about 2 or 3 years ago, we had some of that service at the park. Some deadlines to receive proposals, which you people can pick up either on our website or in person at City Hall, is Friday, April 27th. So if we do not receive any proposals, we'll extend that deadline. And then Music in the Park schedule is out. So there are 4 bands, that'll be a lot of fun this summer. And that's the month of July. Friday is at Lake Tai Park. And then the last item I had on the report is the monthly City Parks Unmarked Trails inspections. We had an average of 9.25 labor hours were spent each week on that task, and then also the average of 8 bags of litter were collected. They're close to the running average. But then of note, towards the end of March, there were 4 transient camps that were located at Sky River Park, and the police were contacting them. And then the following week, the last of March, there were 2 transient camps that were removed, the remains of, at Sky River Park. So that infers that the other 2 self-removed. And that's kind of what's going on there. Some other items of note is this Saturday is a busy day, so you can start your day and go to the community breakfast at the Monroe Community Senior Center. That's from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And also on that day, head on out to Lake Tai and watch Unlimited's Northwest Model Boat Races. Those are always fun. At the YMCA from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's Healthy Kids Day. That's an annual event. Parks and Recreation, we will have a booth, as we have had in the past years there, over there. And then also, the Sky Valley Little League, it's Jamboree. Woo-hoo. And that's 9 to 6 p.m. And that's over at Sky River Park. And so we'll do our best to dry out that park. And as was mentioned earlier, Storm pattern sculpture at Lake Tai Park, part of the small photo there. Yes, it was struck by the vehicle that went into the lake. I gotta say though, that thing looks like a champ. It looks worse than it really. On a close inspection, there were basically 4 of the rods that represent like rain coming down, and they're bent. Just want to remind those of you that may not know this, that piece was part of the Washington State Art and Public Places program. So that was installed in 2008. So I contacted the state to, so first things first is we've got to get an estimate of repairs. I'll be working with them to get that information as soon as possible, because that was a 6-figure piece. So it was over $100,000 to have that, you know, there. And we get a review request every year, so then I go out there and kind of visually look at it and, you know, check off, well, yes, it looks good and all that kind of stuff. And I just did that last month, so now it's, I can't say it's good condition. It's probably fair, but it handled it. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Farrell.
All right, thanks.
Next person we have to report out this evening is Ms. Hassert from Finance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm just the boring numbers tonight. So in your packet is the first quarter report. And while it's still a little early in the year, it is nice to see that everything is trending as we would want it to be. The few areas that looked like they were trending high had reasons for that, one being that there are some city dues that we pay out of the Executive Cost Center that is once a year paid up front. So that'll normalize out as the year progresses. And then as far as on the revenue side, our charges for goods and services do look low, but the reason for that is that we have not started charging our overhead recovery, which is part of that budget. We will start doing that after we do the first of the year amendment, when we true up all the beginning fund balances. Sales taxes, real estate excise taxes, lodging taxes, they are all ahead of the weighted budget expectations for the first quarter, so that's good news as well. And then I also wanted to mention the investment report. Interest earnings continue to creep up at a steady pace, so that's nice. As an aside, in the month of April, we do have $1 million coming up to mature next week, actually. And so we are actually looking at, with the cash that we have in hand and our cash needs over the next couple of years, we're going to actually reinvest into a $2 million investment instrument. And when I spoke to our investment broker this morning, he was saying our timing is really good because interest rates are at a recent historic high right now. So it's a good time to take a look at that and get that invested. The only other thing I wanted to bring up outside of the report, and of course it's all in your packet, so if you have any questions, I'm here to answer. But just as an aside, as you know, I've been paying close attention to what's been going on at the national level with South Dakota versus Wayfair. The Supreme Court did hear oral arguments on that this morning. We probably won't know what the outcome is going to be until June. However, one of the few headlines I saw right away was from the New York Times, and it said that it appeared, just based on reactions and the questions that were being asked, that SCOTUS is pretty divided on this issue. So it's one that we will continue to watch and keep our fingers crossed on.
Any questions from Ms. Sasser? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next report we have, so all departments have reported out. Does anybody have any other questions before we move on to Ms. Knight? Ms. Knight?
Just really briefly, Councilmember Hanford had mentioned at the beginning of the meeting that it was intent to have a motion this evening to waive your council rules of procedure for the fourth Tuesday, which would be next Tuesday, April 24th, in order to conduct some regular business. You have a public hearing, and then you're surplusing a service weapon. So I believe that somebody has that motion to make. Councilmember Gamble, would you mind doing the honors?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah. I move to waive council rules procedure and schedule the fourth Tuesday of April 24th as a regular business meeting and study session for the purpose of taking action.
Second. We have a motion from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Does anybody need me to reread the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Was there any discussion on the motion? Okay. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.
Thank you. The other items that you'll have on the agenda for the 24th, I already mentioned James Palmer will be here to give an economic development report. We're also going to be discussing the council rules of procedure. If you recall, you have a calendar that has canceled those first Monday meetings for several months, and so in order to not have that be your regular meeting, we're asking you to switch your regular meeting and your study session. So that will be on the next agenda. On May 1st, we'll be coming back to you with some more information regarding the council and court remodel. That's this space right here that we're sitting in right now. And then the Monroe to Duval connector, which Mr. Swanson gave you a review of already this evening, and then a social media policy review. There's been some recent changes to a court case, and so we want to make sure the council is up to speed on social media policy.
Point being, an interim,
I'm sorry? Interim?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Yes, on the 24th. I'm okay. Sorry.
So
that's important.
Yeah, one of the things I'm going to share is I interviewed applicants for the interim police chief position on Friday. So one other thing that will be on the 24th will be to for council to consider appointing or confirming the appointment of an interim to that position. Anything else? My Monroe this week update is there in your packets. A couple items of note. I did interview a couple of candidates for the interim police chief position. Also took a tour with Ms. Knight of the senior center on Friday morning last week. Got to see the facility there. I do have a request also from the food bank for us to take a tour there. The food bank is interested in expanding their building, so that'll be something that we'll look forward to getting some more information about. And I think that's pretty much all I have. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I'm just curious about the, I think it's the DeVall, the Monroe transportation. What will we be expected to do on the first? I heard that there may be an ask for money, so are we going to be discussing finances?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood. Not just approval of, is there anything else? Or just that aspect of it?
Just that aspect of it. So the route, we have a draft route.
Right.
But because of the size of Snoqualmie Valley Transit, that's really easy to change. But
right.
Certainly would like council's input on how that route is beginning to shape up.
Okay.
So it really is the ask for funding support.
Yeah, thank you.
And if I can, related to that, I noticed that County Councilmember Lowe had checked in today at City Hall. Was he here today talking about this?
He was actually listening to the pitch for funding.
Okay.
What he was hearing.
Okay, that was here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That was just curious. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order this evening? All right. There's no further business. Is there a motion to?
So moved. Move to adjourn. Oh, there's a.
We're good. Executive session.
Okay, I'm sorry we have a need for an executive session this evening. There was a motion to adjourn. Does anybody want to follow up with that motion to adjourn with a second? Okay, seeing none, we do have a need for an executive session.
I do need a citation. President, Mr. Mayor, no action is anticipated in the open session with the exception of adjournment, and the legal citation is RCW 4231101I, and the purpose of the discussion is to discuss potential litigation with legal counsel.
Okay. So we will go into executive session for approximately 5 minutes under the citation that our attorney, Mr. Rowe, has just shared, and there is the potential for action, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting this evening. So we are now in executive session for 5 minutes. We're back on the record and recording.
We're getting close to that cliff.
Is there a motion to adjourn, Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen. Was the second Councilmember Davis? Councilmember Hanford, any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Have a great evening. We're adjourned.